The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
But we can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time.
That clip is from 2021, not 2020. That's just yesterday, in fact. Dr. Anthony Fauci, even as the stadiums are filling up all over the country, there he is saying, what is it, 22 months? Just give us 22 months to slow the spread. The good doctor, 80 years old, a government bureaucrat for decades, 30 and 40 years, probably hasn't seen a hospital patient in decades as well. And there he is telling you when we can cut the Met Gala affairs, the Emmy Awards ceremony, all those things can continue as per usual. Same with the sporting events and such. But for ordinary Americans to come out of the basement, to come out of lockdown, to gather together, we still don't know. They're desperately clinging to power, and that's what this is about. We'll get to that and much more as we proceed. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly thank you for joining our audience on this, at least here in Edmond, this gorgeous day, just a beautiful fall day, bright, sunshiny day, mild temperatures. We certainly are enjoying God's campus. We had some rain over the weekend as well, so everything looks nice and beautiful and even green here late into the months of 2021. We're thankful for our broadcast partner over at CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, the third channel, or channel 3 on that platform, that takes this program, the audio version of this program, into millions of homes across the United States. The video presentation, however, is available exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live to get to our live stream page, and you can also see all of the videos that we post after the fact as podcasts. So you can watch this live, or you can watch it on demand when it's most convenient for you. So as I say, on the one hand, you have to wonder what world Fauci is living in with much of the activities in the country returning to normal. College stadiums, NFL yesterday, full stadiums. People are, I think, itching to get back out and in with the crowds. Over in the UK, you have Premier League games. Again, full stadiums. And yet here is Dr. Fauci continuing with the scaremongering, continuing with the control. These people are drunk on power. There are some positive signs. There was a headline in the New York Times, the battling Delta. It says here, New Zealand abandons its zero COVID ambitions. But then you dig beneath the surface a little bit and you see that there still are some heavy restrictions, and they're definitely favoring the vaccinated. They're going to discriminate against those who aren't vaxxed or jabbed. That's in New Zealand. Here's a somewhat of a positive headline coming out of Australia, or at least it's in the Wall Street Journal in the U.S. Australia to end travel ban in pivot to living with COVID-19. So now we're going to have to kind of pivot and live with it. And yet, if you look again beneath the surface and see what the borders are open to, it's going to be for another month at least. It's, again, favors the vaccinated. So just slowly but surely trickling out some sense of normalcy. And yet these people are doing everything that they can to hold on to this authoritarian rule that they've enjoyed now for almost 2 years. 2 years to slow the spread. Drunk on power. These officials, these premiers, these health officials, these doctors, these experts. Listen to Sam reminded me, by the way, of this email exchange. Do you think this is about the truth, getting out the truth, or is it about power? Well, we've talked before about how it's about power. It's about changing the way America does elections. It's about stealing the election from last year. It's about money. You think of the billions, the tens of billions of dollars these pharmaceutical companies are just raking in, and their stock prices soaring during the pandemic. They're benefiting. A lot of other people are hurting. A lot of others are going to be fired this month because of vaccine mandates. This goes back to the New York Post from June when some of those Fauci emails were made public. This was one lady who was about to get on an airplane, and she emailed Dr. Anthony Fauci and said, I'm traveling. Folks are suggesting I take a mask for the airport. Is that something that I should do? And then Fauci responded to her the next day, and he said, Sylvia, masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected, rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. It says the typical mask you buy at the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, said the man who would later say, you need two masks. You need to double up. He says, according to these emails, privately, he says they're not really effective. They don't really work. It says, which is small enough, these virus particles, small enough to pass through the material. It might, however, provide some slight benefit in keeping out gross droplets of someone if someone coughs or sneezes or whatever. I do not recommend that you wear a mask, Sylvia, particularly since you are going to a very a low-risk location. I do not recommend that you wear a mask. And so today, I suppose he would explain this away by saying, you know what, the science is evolving. Now we know that those cheap little masks that you buy at the drugstore, they really do work. And so much so, I'd suggest two of them. That's Dr. Fauci. Is it about truth? It's never been about truth. It's been about power. We'll play some clips from Ron Johnson here in just a moment where he got up on the Senate floor. I believe he's a senator. He gets up on in Congress and gives a speech and talks about these studies in Israel and the UK that aren't covered here. And as he says himself, I've got to do it on the floor of Congress just so that the message gets out. Because if I just give it from my office and create this video and put it on Twitter or Facebook, they'll delete it. Big tech will censor you. So it's not about the truth. In fact, it's about blotting out the truth. In fact, it's about trashing the U.S. Constitution. It's about control. It's about power. It's about money. It's about stealing elections. It's about making sure that the communists maintain their grip on power. That's what my father has written. Notice again what Fauci had to say yesterday, clip two.
But you are a member of society. And as a member of society, reaping all the benefits of being a member of society, you have a responsibility to society. And I think each of us, particularly in the context of a pandemic that's killing millions of people, you have got to look at it and say there comes a time when you do have to give up what you consider your individual right of making your own decision for the greater good of society.
Says the man who helped create the virus. He funded the virus. The virus is man-made. And now he's saying, you've got to give up your individual rights. I mean, that's embedded into the DNA of America. Liberty, freedom, individual rights. He says, no, you don't have individual rights in this case. You've got collective rights, and you've got to make sure that you consider the greater good of society when it comes to lockdowns, when it comes to masks, when it comes to mandates, when it comes to vaccines. As I say, here's an 80-year-old bureaucrat, perhaps the most influential, powerful expert or doctor, so-called, in the entire world. You can dismiss it, I suppose, and say that Well, the stadiums are filling up. Nobody's listening to them. But look, people are going to be hurting. They're already hurting. Look at how many people are being pressured into taking this vaccine. We'll come to that in a second. Let me just play this clip from Hugh Hewitt, the radio commentator. I didn't get a chance to play this last Friday. We just ran out of time. But here's Hugh Hewitt speaking some truth, some uncomfortable truth, to the good doctor, Dr. Fauci, last week. Clip five.
The controversy since the virus started include the botched testing at the beginning, no research on masks for children in primary care, the J&J pause, the controversy over the use or non-use of ivermectin, and there was no study yet completed. Dr. Collins told me it's not done yet. The no discussion of natural immunity, which exists and ought to be out there. The discussion of herd immunity, which is switched back and forth. The mask discussion at the beginning, don't wear masks, the noble lie, and then wear masks. Now equity issues in the FDA panel scientific discussion. I've lost confidence in the CDC and the FDA. And I actually believe a lot of Americans, a significant part of America, now have lost confidence in you, Dr. Fauci. Is there a point where you will say, I do more harm than good because people don't listen to me anymore, and step aside?
No, absolutely, unequivocally, no, Hugh. Sorry. I mean, I agree with a lot of the things that you've been saying. You come from a different perspective than I do. But I think the thing that gets lost in the discussion and that people need to understand, and I do know that some people don't understand it and don't accept it, even if they, you know, smart people who evaluate it in their own context, is that we have been dealing with an evolving situation. And I just get back to what I've said before, and I totally understand and respect your differences, Hugh, that when you have an evolving situation and data are rapidly evolving in something that's unprecedented and unknown, you have to evolve with it.
I see. We have to evolve with it. The masks, they don't do any good. They don't work. Now they're great. Now, what study? You remember first when they excused the fact that they, I don't need to go through what we've covered before on this program. Hugh Hewitt does a pretty good job of exposing the flip-flops, the lies. Shouldn't you just step aside? I mean, people don't trust you. They don't believe you. Oh, absolutely not. I mean, he's as confident as ever. And there he is on TV yesterday saying it's going to be many more months before we even know if we can come out of hiding. As I say, the stadiums are full. You can go to the Met Gala events. You can go to the Emmy Awards. If you're celebrities, you don't have to go, you don't have to wear a mask. The servants do, of course, but you don't. But the thing of it is, these people still have a lot of power. They're controlling the levers of government. And so they've got all these agencies. They've got the medical profession firing nurses. Police departments are firing law enforcement officials, policemen, because they aren't getting the jab. United Airlines last week announced that some 500 people were being fired. So you can look at the full stadiums and then dismiss what Dr. Fauci says yesterday. But these are real-world consequences that spring from that man and people like him, Rachel or Rochelle Walensky at the CDC, and of course Biden and his people, who, if there is an unfavorable ruling from the FDA, they just brush it aside and say, get the third jab, get the booster shot. This is from MSN. It says, as coronavirus cases mount and vaccine mandates spread, holdouts plague police and fire departments. The article says, when the coronavirus vaccines were first rolled out, the National Fraternal Order of Police went to the federal government pleading for law enforcement officers to have expedited access to the shots. Police, the group wrote, needed the vaccines to keep them and the public with whom they interact safe from infection. But it goes on to say how that these holdouts, now they're in danger of losing their jobs. I think there's deadlines in the middle of this month and next month, some places in the Northeast where you've got to get the jab or you've got to be removed. you're going to be fired. Think of it. The nurses last year were the heroes, and there was no vaccine. But they were in there. They were working with patients. They were saving lives. They were held up as heroes. And now they're in danger of losing their jobs if they don't get this jab. And, of course, some are caving into the pressure and getting the jab even when they don't want it. And in the case of one woman in Oregon, 37-year-old mother, she gets the jab. She didn't want the jab, but she gets it, and what happens? She dies. The vaccine kills her. This is from Conservative Treehouse. It says a terribly sad story from Oregon highlighting a young mother who did not want to take the COVID-19 vaccine but was forced by government demands. Forced by government demand. In any other time, this would be a scandal of epic proportions, forced by the government to get the jab, and she's dead. She's dead. It says here, to accept the vaccination shot in order to guide her two children, it says, through school. After taking the jab, Miss Wilson died from blood clots caused by the vaccine. This is how her obituary read. Jessica Wilson, 37, of Seattle, Washington, passed away unexpectedly September 7th, 2021, from COVID-19 vaccine-induced thrombotic, and then some long word, surrounded basically blood clots and so on. Surrounded by her loving family, Jessica was an exceptionally healthy and vibrant 37-year-old young mother with no underlying health conditions. And so the family posts this on Twitter. And what does Twitter include? A label that says misleading, as if Twitter knows. As if Twitter knows the details of this case. As if Twitter knows what this woman and her family had discussed with their doctor. Here's a family just saying, hey, my wife took it, she died. And Twitter wants to blot it out. Twitter wants you to know that the vaccine is perfect. Never mind what happened to this woman. 37 years old. And a loving wife and mother. And she's gone, and her family knows why. And those that worked with her in the hospital, if they're honest, they know why. You may have seen reports coming out of Denver. This law enforcement official, here again, the police department, you've got to get the jab. Here's another case. A young father who didn't want to get the jab. He gets it. Now he can't walk. His legs are paralyzed. Fox News over the weekend, they had this man on with his attorney. Listen to some of that interview. This is clip 6.
Denver police officers who are not vaccinated against COVID-19 now face being fired under the city's mandate. Yesterday, we heard the story of one officer who was forced to get the vaccine to keep his job and is now struggling to walk.
A guy, 34 years old, 4 kids, who had COVID last year, recovered. He's a runner, very healthy, went ahead and took the mandatory job to not lose his position with the Denver police on August 22nd. He can barely walk now. He falls down if he doesn't have people around him. So there are other consequences to forcing this jab that people are not thinking about.
I got the shot August 22nd. That week, I started developing body ache, pain in my legs. The next week, August 31st, tried going into work. My legs hurt a lot more. Ended up getting sent home. And on my way home, I couldn't feel my feet anymore. I couldn't feel the gas pedal or the brake pedal, and pretty much had to call for help to get home, and I barely made it first shot.
Okay, has your doctor been able to confirm that you lost use of your legs because of the vaccine?
He said it's most likely due to the vaccine, but it hasn't been diagnosed all the way. But yes, he said it is the vaccine.
Yeah, well, first I'm just so frustrated with the doctors. They don't have the courage to, I mean, the effects started hitting him right after he took the shot. We've got officers who have had to retire early. We've got Jose, 34, just at the beginning of his career, had trouble getting up here to his chair.
Well, Jose, you have been a police officer for 7 years. You served in the Army for 12 years. You have sacrificed so much for our country. You have 4 children, and now you're worried about your legs and if you're going to get better. How do you feel?
Uncertain. I mean, I can't be outside with my... I can't be outside with my kids. The doctor says it could get worse before it gets better. And if I do get better, it's going to be years. So I always carry my kids to bed. And they're like, Daddy, I'm sorry.
We understand. I can't imagine what you're going through.
We'll just walk to bed.
To make this decision for everybody, this is a guy who had serious COVID last year and beat it. So his body was raging with antibodies. And they gave him this jab, and now his hand was shaking like this morning when he came up.
Gosh.
It's outrageous.
He didn't want the jab, but it was jab or else. You lose your job. All that you've ever known. Here's a veteran, a U.S. military veteran. Then he comes back to the United States and he's in law enforcement. This is what he knows. This is his livelihood. A family man, a father. Jab or else. That's the Trumpet magazine. Remember, months ago? You get the jab or you're fired. You get the jab or you can't go to a restaurant. That's coming from Fauci and company. And a lot of businesses, as you can see from these reports, they're following through. Jab or else. And how many, like I said, these two examples, they didn't even want to get the jab. There's a lot of people that are quite happy to do it. They want it. Fine. It's a free country. Get the jab if you want. Never mind the side effects. Never mind what might happen. But two people that got it because they were forced. It was either the jab or they lose everything. Ron Johnson, the senator, he gave this testimony, or he took his speech time at the floor of the Senate to quote from or to cite this study coming out of the UK to show just how ineffective. Leave aside the side effects and just consider the vaccine with respect to COVID. And more studies now are showing, certainly they're not going to get much coverage in the United States. It's covered up here. But in the UK, they're noting that the jab doesn't even help prevent COVID. You've got this Delta variant that just, it just goes right through. And a lot of people that are in the hospital with COVID have been vaccinated. That's what Senator Johnson exposed in his speech at the Senate last week. Listen to clip 7.
President Biden, and this has been parroted by media, news media, said that what we are currently experiencing is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. They don't give us really any data to back that up. They just pronounce that 99% of people with COVID now are unvaccinated, but they don't give us the data. But we have data from England, and here's the data. So of the 600,000 cases in England, 43% were with the unvaxxed, 27% were with the fully vaxxed, another 30% were with partially vaxxed or just undetermined. But I think what's interesting, because here's another quote from President Biden. President Biden said, if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to an ICU unit. You're not going to die. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. Well, maybe that's true in the U.S. I kind of doubt it, because in England, of the 600,000 new cases of Delta, of the over 2,500 deaths, 63% of those deaths, 1,613 people were the fully vaccinated.
63% of the deaths in England this year, fully vaccinated. Joe Biden said, if you get the vaccine, you're not going to die. And again, you add to that the side effects, the ones dying from blood clots and heart attacks and such, brain hemorrhages. But even the COVID deaths, as Senator Johnson brings out there, these people are dying and they've been fully vaccinated. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the COVID vaccine, for all of its faults, doesn't even protect you from COVID. Listen to one more clip from Senator Johnson, clip 8.
Let me just quick quote a couple figures from the CDC's own safety early surveillance system, the VAERS report, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Worldwide, from a couple weeks ago, these numbers are pretty fresh, there have been over 15,000 deaths reported on VAERS. Now, I realize VAERS does not prove causation, but of those 15,000 deaths, over 5,000 of those deaths have occurred on day 0, 1, or 2 following vaccination. Now, again, it doesn't prove causation, but if I were working the CDC, I'd be looking at that very closely and analyzing those cases. The final number, total adverse events on the VAERS system in 10 months since the COVID vaccines have been under emergency use authorization, over 725,000 adverse events. So again, I was hoping and praying this vaccine was 100% effective, 100% safe, but that does not appear to be the case. And I believe this administration, I believe our healthcare agencies need to be honest and transparent with the public. They have not been.
They haven't been honest and transparent. And so there he is getting on the floor of the Senate to speak some truth. And he, by the way, he said that 15,000 death figure was worldwide. I believe that's within the U.S. It's the VAERS site. It's the CDC site reporting on American deaths, as I understand it. I can look into that further, I suppose. I know we've given you those stats before on this program. In any event, he's talking about these people and their allies in the media, big tech. They won't let this message get out. So he says, I've got to speak this at the Senate floor where there's rules to protect my free speech. He delivers this message on Facebook or Twitter. Well, the example of that woman dying in Oregon. Here comes Twitter to tell you, listen, this is misleading. Don't you listen to this. A woman dead because of the vaccine. They bury the truth. John Ziegler, he's a media critic. He tweeted this regarding Florida. Says, in the last month, average deaths with COVID in Florida have plummeted by an astounding 95%, all with most schools in session, with zero restrictions, and about a dozen major football teams playing in front of large crowds. And yet you listen to the media and the way they talk about Florida, it's as if Florida is the worst plague on earth. 95%. Florida's just gone back to normal, and there's no big outbreak there. But you'd never know it. You'd never know it listening to the media, the propagandists in the media. You'd never know it listening to Dr. Fauci on the Sunday shows. Listen to Rochelle Walensky. This is the CDC director and what she said over the weekend. Clip 3.
Is it safe to get vaccinated while you're breastfeeding?
It absolutely is safe to get vaccinated. So I would say if you are thinking about getting vaccinated, there is no bad time to get vaccinated. Get vaccinated while you're thinking about having a baby, before you're thinking about having a baby, while you're pregnant with your baby, or after you've delivered your baby. There is no bad time.
There's no bad time. If you're an expecting mother, get the vaccine. If you're thinking about having a baby, get the vaccine. If you're pregnant, get it. Get the vaccine. Jab up. If you're nursing a little infant, get the vaccine. There is no time, she says, about this experimental drug, this spike protein, all of these toxic chemicals. It's been out for just a few months. It was rushed into the public sphere. And she says, the head of the CDC, get it. Yeah, even if you're carrying a child, no big deal. Look at the CDC site sometime about what things you ought to be careful with or just absolutely avoid if you're pregnant. This is from their own website. This is from Walensky's website. Alcohol use during pregnancy can cause miscarriage, stillbirth, and a range of lifelong birth defects and developmental disabilities. So don't drink alcohol, in other words. And it's not that I'm disagreeing with that, but here's the CDC saying, you better not drink a glass of wine while you're pregnant, because this could happen. But this experimental drug, this powerful drug that's actually killing people. And there she is confidently saying, there's no time when it's harmful. Beginning a pregnancy, end of pregnancy, when you're nursing a child, everything's perfect. Is that true? You think are they really interested in proclaiming the truth? The CDC says cigarette smoking during pregnancy increases the risk of health problems for developing babies, such as preterm birth, low birth weight, and birth defects in the mouth and lips. Smoking during and after pregnancy also increases the risk of sudden infant death syndrome. In addition, tobacco products containing nicotine and e-cigarettes are not safe to use during pregnancy. Even e-cigarettes. Don't use those. Don't drink wine, but get the jab. Definitely get the jab. Anytime along the way, get the jab. Some research shows that marijuana use during pregnancy is linked to low birth weight. It may also increase the chances for developmental problems for a child, such as problems with attention and learning. Well, they've got all these dispensaries all over. They're all over Edmond. They're everywhere. Get your marijuana. Here's the CDC saying, now be careful. Be careful with this substance, with secondhand smoke, cigarettes, marijuana, alcohol, wine, all those things. But the jab is perfect. Here's a quote from the FDA. Medicines including non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, opioids, and acetaminophen can help treat severe and persistent pain. However, it's important to carefully weigh the benefits and risks of using prescription and OTC pain medicines during pregnancy. I mean, just what you would think would be common sense, right? You're taking a powerful drug during a pregnancy. You better weigh the risk. You can't even get that from Walensky about the vaccine for COVID. Anytime you want to take it, if you're thinking about a baby, early on in the pregnancy, in the late term of the pregnancy, even after, when you're nursing the child, get the jab. Just get it. You can't even get her to say, look, every case is different. I'd counsel you to check with your doctor, see what he has to say. It's a one size fits all. Pregnant, old, young, anyone. You may have comorbidities. You may have had COVID last year. And all of these antibodies, as that lawyer said, just raging in your system. It doesn't matter. Get the jab. Get the jab. In some cases, get the jab or else. Well, that police officer in Denver did it. And he's paralyzed now. The teacher in Oregon, she did it. And she's dead. No wonder Ron Johnson is out there. Good for him. Where are the others? In the Senate, in Congress, with the courage to speak the truth. The pressure coming from these communists, so intense. It's deranged. It's evil. It's right out of the mind of the devil. It's demonic. And people are afraid to speak the truth. They're afraid to speak the truth. Why aren't these stories getting more coverage? Scandalous what's happening. I mean, lives. Forget livelihood for a moment, but lives. It's cost lives. And who do we blame? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of people that can be blamed, a lot of actions and behaviors for all of us to consider, for sure. But you go back to, I don't have time to get into this other article about our civilizational collapse, but I'll just take you to that communist infiltration. We'll have to spend some time tomorrow on China moving on Taiwan, Russia firing these missiles from a submarine for the first time. We had a story that's going to go up on the Trumpet in just a bit on, North Korea goes all out on missile tests. Look at the world around us. You look at what we're doing to ourselves. And then, like my father says in that Dangerous Will article from last year, the one I quoted on the program Friday, when America's enemies see the sickness within, they mobilize their forces to attack us from without. That's what's coming. It's already happening. We're coming under attack from enemies abroad. Already, in fact, if I can find that quote from my father, it says here, in 1956, Mr. Armstrong wrote that Russia was waging psychological war on America. And then he quotes Mr. Armstrong. This is from 1956. A psychological warfare of propaganda, infiltration, subversion, demoralization. It is a warfare that has attacked our minds and our moral and spiritual values rather than our bodies and our earthly possessions. I mean, now it's attacking our bodies too. It says it's a kind of warfare that we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence. I mean, look at what these communists are doing right now. They hate the United States of America. They are the enemy of America. They're the enemy of the Constitution. Jab or else. Doesn't matter if it kills Americans. Everything Mr. Armstrong laid out there in that 1956 quote, it's happening. Undermining the rule of law. Look at what happened all last summer with the rioting. The real riots, not January 6th. All last summer, burning down cities. And now these jab mandates. Where do you find that in the Constitution? Doesn't matter. Fauci said it. Walensky said it. Biden did it. He got the third booster, so far as we know, in the staged event. They want to destroy the military. Look at General Milley. Look at what he's done to the United States military. They want to ruin the economy. They want to track all of our banking transactions. They want to imprison you by getting you to make a misstatement to some corrupt FBI agent. You think about all that they've done these past many months, even during the Trump administration, the attacks on him. Is there anything they're doing really that's in the interest of building up the nation and strengthening its constitutional foundation? No, they want to tear it down. That's exactly what Mr. Armstrong prophesied going back to the 1950s. That's incredible. What a forecast. Spot on, as per usual. You go to the book. We've got it here, actually. He was right. Mr. Armstrong, of course, died in 1986. But if you want to read a magnificent summary of his many prophecies, his many best-known prophecies, from over the course of his 50-some-year ministry, make sure you request a copy of He Was Right. Operators are standing by. The toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some feedback if you like. The email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for.
Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The featured article at thetrumpet.com website at the moment, title: Arizona Audit Exposes Massive Fraud. But never mind the truth. If you're a propagandist in the media, try to get ahead of the story. Try to say, well, the results show us that Biden still won. And that report, of course, should have been much stronger. There have been quite a few indications that they were pressured to water it down some. But even still, all kinds of fraud exposed. All kinds of fraud. 57,000 ballots, fraudulent ballots, in a state that Biden supposedly won by 10,000. We're keeping our eye on the developments there, seeing if the Arizona AG has the courage to actually do something about the fraud, the theft, the stealing, the cheating, the lying. It wasn't even a full forensic audit because of Maricopa County officials that wouldn't cooperate with the routers and some of the other equipment. They just refused to turn it over. That in itself is criminal activity. But where are the courageous agents, attorneys general, prosecutors, law enforcement officials? This nation's under attack. America under attack. You heard it here first years and years and years ago. I saw we had the clip in the previous segment. We just didn't get to the time to go through it. Maybe I can play it for you tomorrow. But it's from Herbert Armstrong, going way back to the early days of his radio ministry. And there he was saying, we're going the way of Rome. This article about America's civilization, or the civilization under collapse, about to collapse. It talks about going the way of Rome. This is an article from 2021, and yet you go back decades to Mr. Armstrong's ministry. He proclaimed God's truth, the sure word of Bible prophecy, served as his guide. And we know that so many of these dire prophecies, these end-time prophecies, they do thankfully culminate in the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Perfect. You want to talk about perfect? Perfect government, administering perfect laws, the Ten Commandments. This morning I got into the second commandment of God, one that's just almost universally rejected or certainly ignored. God talking about not propping up graven images. He gets real specific in the way that we worship, in the way that we're commanded to worship Him. And what do you see? Even in the world of Christianity, you see all of these graven images just all over the place. And God commands us not to do it. Rampant idolatry. Well, as I say, all of this lawlessness, this wilderness of religious confusion, it's coming to an end, and Jesus is about to establish God's righteous government on this earth. He's about to carry out a plan that would save all of mankind from every nation, from every religious background. I've given you this passage before, 1 John 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify. Verse 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent His Son to this earth as a lamb sacrifice to be the Savior of the world. He died for the entire world, for every single human being on earth, for every single human being who's ever lived. He died for the world. God the Father and Christ the Son, they risked everything so that they could build a family. It's a family plan. I told the students this morning, you come back from the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, and I mean, you're just filled with inspiration and the vision, the God family vision. It's clearer and more vivid in our minds than ever before. And you contrast that with some of the pagan holidays that this world keeps, the traditions of men. You don't come away from those traditions with a deeper understanding and grasp of God's family plan, the plan of salvation, the God family vision. But you do when you properly observe the 7 annual festivals, as God commands in the Bible. And of course, because he commands it, most of mankind, including in the world of Christianity, they reject it. They refuse. Look, if it's a commandment that suits us, you know, we might try to comply with it to some degree. But for the most part, they reject. If God says do it, they don't do it. If God says don't do it, well, it must be okay. That's the world we live in. That's why the world is the way it is. We need God's government. We need his laws. We need his annual festivals. We need to obey his Sabbath command. We need all of it to understand his awesome purpose and plan for all of mankind. It does include everybody. Nobody's left out. There's a time order to it, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. But everyone, before this is all said and done, everyone will have an opportunity to participate in God's family plan. Notice 2 Peter 1, verse 16, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is similar to the way John set up his first epistles. His first epistle, I should say, that we saw Christ. We saw God in the flesh. We handled him. We spent time with him. These disciples were in awe of God's purpose and plan. The fact that a God being would come in the flesh and risk everything for you and me, that just blows you away. It should. But for so many people, I mean, yeah, well, that's religion. What does that matter? I mean, we've got to talk about mandates. We've got to talk about travel restrictions. We've got to talk about whether we can keep pagan holidays or not. Verse 17, it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." So Peter's hearkening back to this vision of the kingdom that he saw in Matthew 17. What an impact that this had on his life. What an impact this vision had on his ministry. He saw the kingdom in all of its glory and majesty. Verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." So he saw this vision of the kingdom, this return of Jesus Christ. This is our hope. This is what we anticipate. This is what we look to. This is what we pray every day, "Thy kingdom come." We ask God to hasten the day of the return of Christ. We want to see this world and the things of this world. We want to see it all removed, set aside, and a new world, a new civilization established on the laws of God, built up by the Lord Jesus Christ, the family of God. Notice 1 Timothy 3. This is verse 14. Paul writes here, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Paul said, "I hope I can get there and see you again, Timothy. But if I don't, take these instructions that I'm writing to you here and know that this is how you ought to behave as a pillar. This is how the people of God ought to behave, as pillars in the temple of God. the pillar and the ground of the truth. Verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh as Jesus Christ. I mean, that's astounding, Timothy. And look, Timothy, there's plenty of evidence of this. And we've got to ponder this for a time. Just think about the fact that God himself came in the flesh. And what does it say about God? Why would he do it? You can read through Philippians 2 and see, I mean, this God who was God, why would he take that kind of a step down? Well, because God wants to build a family. 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice verse 8, it says here, But be not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul was about to die. Timothy was really struggling. A lot of people had fallen away from the truth. And Paul encourages him. He admonishes him, look, don't be ashamed. Don't be apologetic for the stand that you've taken, standing with Jesus Christ. It's difficult. Yes, it's difficult to be a Christian. You're going to have to face some persecution, some difficult times for sure. But stand strong in the Lord. Stand up for the truth. Don't be ashamed. It says in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had this in mind from the very beginning. You can read in the God Family Vision about plan A with Lucifer and the angels, and then plan B, where there was a much greater risk involved. And because of that, it was plan B, the family plan. God coming in the flesh so that the whole world could be saved. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. God called us to be holy, to develop that perfect and righteous and holy character, godly character, striving for purity in all things. See, we've got to live this way of life, not just talk about it, not just preach it, but actually live it. Read Matthew 5 and verse 48. It says, become ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You mean we're to become like God? Yes, indeed, because we are to become God. That's what God is doing. Look at Genesis 1 and verse 26. He set out to reproduce himself. That's why we're made in the image and the likeness of God. Verse 10. This is in 2 Timothy 1. It says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, over and again, we see these disciples talking about this Savior, the Savior of the world, the fact that God would come in the flesh to save mankind, to build a family. How encouraged Paul must have been just in meditating on this purpose and plan, this vision. Even as he was about to die, he knew that physical death wasn't permanent. He knew that God would soon raise him right back to life at the return of Jesus Christ. It's a hope-filled message. Request the God Family Vision to study into this much more deeply. 1-866-930-3024 is the toll-free number. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.